up on last Sunday night. If so, you were here last Sunday evening. Pastor Warren and I looked at some of the pictures we took. And so we look at these missions that we do, the short-term missions in the Philippines. So tonight we'll answer a simple question. Why do we go back? So that's the title of my message. And we'll take a look at these different patterns that we see in the New Testament. Why do we go back? So let's all stand. We'll look at some verses, and we'll start with Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. It's a familiar verse. We call it our Great Commission. So from verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." And then we'll look at the book of Acts. So most of our time we'll spend in the Great Commission and in the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. So in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, this is Paul. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." And then later on in Acts 15, we will see again verse 36. In Acts chapter 15, verse 36. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God," or word of the Lord, "and see how they do." And so tonight we will look at that question. We'll answer that question from the text and some other texts. Like I said, the pattern in the New Testament. The pattern when they go and they obey the Great Commission. But then something else is part of that Great Commission that we will focus on tonight. So why do we go back? Why do we return to the Philippines and minister there? Do we need to go back to continue the work there? Are there not Christians there who could do the work of the ministry? And so we'll take a look at that. So we'll pray and we'll begin. Father, we thank you for this evening. Bless your word and bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So last Sunday night, we looked at some of the pictures that we had when we ministered. But I remember the very first year we went there, but that was about 5 years ago. So 5 years ago, some of you know Tino and Corina. They were members of this church. They decided to retire in the Philippines, but I think they're coming back. But for college, can't believe that TJ is now going to college. So, but when we were there, I was invited to speak to Corina's college there, so I spoke to the young people. But then I have a pastor friend, Aris Gonzalez. He was here at that time. He was here in the States doing some fundraising, and so we talk about that. And our decision was based on some of our families still live in the Philippines. My mom and dad at that time. My dad is still there, but they also decided to stay in the Philippines. My brother's there. My wife's two brothers are still there. So we decided to go every year because they're not getting younger, and so at least we get a chance to see our families there. But then that was the time that Pastor Ira said, "Why don't we start this conference here? We need some assistance." So we decided, okay, then that's a good time. We're there. And that was the first time we ministered to the pastors there. But we get to visit a church in Bataan. That's where Tino and Corina is from. And so that's where we experience, at least I experience, the pastor preaching, You say, was there music? Yeah, there was music, there was preaching, there was teaching. However, at the end of that service, really I describe it as this. It's a stand-up comic. So it's like stand-up comedy. You know, the pastor is a good man, but that's what they know. That's how they basically wake people up. And so when it comes to their music is very, the selection is very small. They have a very small selection of music because their idea is music is to wake people up, I said. And so every church we went to from there, you can pretty much know it's the same music that they will sing. And again, it's not that they intentionally do that. A lot of this is that's how they grew up. So these pastors grew up in churches like that. And so when they became pastors, that's what they do. And so that's how a burdens get started. And of course, at this point, Pastor Warren is already prodding me to do something. Just do something in the Philippines. And so tonight we will look at that. We decided to go back. So why do we go back? Well, from the text we read, the answers come from the very reason we exist. And I'm glad Pastor talked about this in Sunday school. Why do we exist as a local church? What is our purpose? Why do we exist, and what is the purpose of the church? So I wrote this sermon way before this Sunday school. But he talks about the gathered church and the scattered church. And so the scattered church is the one thing that we will discuss tonight. The gathered church is when we're out there in the world. Why do we go back? Let's go back to Acts 15, verse 36. So in our text says, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And so we know in Matthew 28, the verse we read, the Great Commission, in verse 20, when it says teaching them, it talks about teaching those who became disciples. That's in verse 19 when it says in Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The first word there, teach, is to make disciples of all nations. Make Christians of all nations. But then on the verse 20, it says, teaching them. Them are those who made or became Christians. So first of all, why do we go back? Well, we go back in order to carry out our sacred duty. Sometimes we miss that. We think, and it's true, that missions is evangelism and church planting. We do that. We support a lot of missionaries. We do support a lot of people, a lot of pastors that plant churches. But we should not miss the ministering to believers. So there are two parts, really, of that mission. We have the responsibility to the lost, but we do have responsibilities also to the believers. To the Christians. Mission is not only evangelism and church planting. It is not only reaching the lost with the gospel of Christ. Our Great Commission commands us also for those who became believers, for those who became Christians, that we also teach and equip those who became disciples. In Acts 15, verse 40 and 41, let's look at that. We're still in the book of Acts, but later on in verses 40 and 41, it says, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming or making strong or strengthening the churches. And so this Sunday school, we know what is the church. It's not a building. So when we talk about the church or the churches, yes, they're a local church, but there we have the believers. We are part of the body of Christ. The churches, Paul said, that's to strengthen them. So they return, they go back in order to minister to those believers. Although they still evangelize, and Paul planted a lot of churches, but still they go back to that part of that commission, that great commission, for us to teach and to equip believers. Later on, let's turn to Acts 18. Verses 21 and 20 to 23, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. So in Acts 18, verse, I'm just going to read in verse 23. And so Paul here says, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And so there is that pattern. Because we return, we go back in order to carry out our sacred duty. It is our sacred duty to reach out to those believers, to go back and strengthen those believers. So not just evangelism and church planting. It is the equipping of believers. It is the building up of new believers that we are concerned with. Why? It is our sacred duty. It is part of our great commission. Reaching the lost, equipping the believers. There was a time when some of the students that came over and stayed with us from the Philippines, one of them was my student in the Philippines. Now they go to a Bible school in Ohio. And so I mentioned this last Sunday night. I had an opportunity to teach in their college there for a couple of days. And so their joke was, as I mentioned Sunday evening, that half of their semester is academic work and half is construction work because the professor may not show up. And sometimes they do not show up, not because they're lazy, not because of anything else, but because sometimes they don't have resources, okay? A lot of times it's financial, and secondly, resources on what to teach. And so these are the burden that I saw, at least, and I knew pastors had seen this way before I did, because when you grow up in a culture, you don't see, you know, you're part of it. So you think that's normal. So you come to church and you hear good jokes. And so you think that's normal. That's part of these young people hearing these things. And so they'll have preacher boys. So they'll have this group that will imitate, of course, who else they would imitate. And so when I talked to these young people, they said yes. So they might show up. And if they don't, they're on construction business. It's not really business to earn money, but, you know, that's what they did. And so we said, and I told Pastor Aris, maybe we can do something. You know, maybe we can do something there. And so we did, started last year. And so hopefully we'll continue to minister. Another time, another pastor or pastors, when I taught there the first year, homiletics, you know, they have said, well, how do you preach? So they preach, said, they give emphasis on alliteration, you know, the alliterated sermon. So if it's all letter B, it's all letter D, so their points start with that. And so I said, why is that? So why is it when you go to churches, alliteration is not bad, but when you force alliteration, you go out of context. And so that's, they start with power, praise, and, you know, what's another P? Prayer. And so you will hear those points. But when you start hearing them, one of the students told me that when they were in college, the professor in homiletics will give them a higher grade if they come out with an alliterated outline. You know, I like what Pastor Warren will say. They pee-pee on you. They start with all the P's. And you say, is that bad? Not really, but when it's out of context, which they did not learn, and they did not learn very well, then we can see that it becomes a pattern on these local churches. And so the burden is we have to carry out these that God gave us this commission. So we have to carry out our sacred duty. The Lord gave this to us. The Lord commanded this to us. And so we see that. Secondly, why do we return? Why do we go back? Well, to help out in every God-given opportunity. So let's look at Acts 15:36 again. We go back to help out in every God-given opportunity. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas in Acts 15:36, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now, not every opportunity, we have to think about that. It is a God-given opportunity to us, which means we need wisdom and discernment on how to help wisely. Folks, we do not have unlimited resources. And so when we realize what they needed are resources, someone to teach them. I think a year ago, our church raised a lot of money for Kindles. We raised a lot of money. But do we give those Kindles to anyone that say, I want one? Of course not. We want to make sure that as a church, we raise the money for those Kindles. We want to be wise. Okay? We want to be able to give those who will actually use them. Okay? To those that will actually use them to teach later on. And so, do we give them help on what they need? God-given opportunity in every one of those we should. We should think about, think through to help them. Let's turn to Acts. Because not every opportunity we can help. We have, again, to be discerned. We have to apply discernment. Acts 16, verse 4 through 7 says here, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of the Lord suffered them not or allowed them not. So we can see this. It's not every opportunity. The Lord has some way of saying, not there. It's not magic that sometimes the Lord will speak to your ear, right? I hope you don't hear any sound. But what are voices? I hope you don't hear any voices. But these are through interaction with other believers, understanding, reading from the scripture, okay, just getting and applying wisdom. Where can we help? We have opportunity everywhere, but folks, we cannot be in every place. We cannot just say, hey, that's an opportunity. It must be a God-given opportunity. We have to think through. We have to talk to people what they need. But this is part of our commission. So yes, even in the scripture, There are places where God will say, not that location, but this location. And so we will look at some of these example in the local church. One time I was asking Pastor Ayres, you know, some of the things they need. When we drove around that area in the north, because mainly that's where I drove in Nueva Ecija, Aurora. You see that in the map, on the map, that's the northern part. Every time we saw a building that is unfinished, you know, it's all bricks and then roof. That's it. You know, the windows may not have nothing on that, just holes. Okay, the joke is people knew that they are Baptist churches. So they will point to that. That's a Baptist church. And sure enough, it is a Baptist church. So why is that? Well, the money they will raise, they will want to start just put walls, doors, windows, roof. That's it, and they can start ministering to the people. Okay, because it's heat, hot, humid, rain, typhoons. And so if they can have a brick building, okay, with roof, nothing inside, I mean, dirt floor, but they can start ministering to people. People can start coming in. Because a lot of times if you just go under the shade of a tree, yeah, that's well and good, but not all year. Okay, maybe part of the year. And so we see this. We can help, yes. Financial needs, who doesn't need financial help? Every church in Asia, okay? We cannot sustain that. But what we can do is we help as we are able. Let's take a look at Acts 11. So in Acts 11, another example for us, and we do help. Pastor Franco went back to Haiti, and I think we raised some money for the Haitians. And so in Acts 11, verses 27 to 30, says here in Acts 11, verses 27 to 30, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And in verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his or her ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and send it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, which is Paul. And so as we are able. So what is this commission? This commission not only ordered us or command us to go back in order to carry out our sacred duty and in order to help in every God-given opportunity. Again, not every opportunity, but the opportunity the Lord asks we are able to do. Primarily, we go back for discipleship. So yes, those are good. We can help financially. Yes, we can help and assist them. But primarily, we go back for discipleship. One time, Pastor Iris mentioned to me, there are churches that says, well, they build these buildings and we're good with construction. Why don't we go and help? Well, that's well and good. The intention is very good. So when I was discussing this with the pastor, especially Pastor Iris, he's the one that I come in contact every time there. Well, he said, think about this. You have five people, right? You go to the Philippines to help, build the church, construction, right? How much is a plane ticket? The cheapest we got is $600, and the most expensive one is $1,300, right? So we average it $1,000, okay? Not including I don't think if you're an American, you can stay in a hotel where, these locals will stay, right? And we get used to it. How many wants a Coke cockroaches going around. We're not used to that. We're not used to that. But one time my wife saw a cockroach, and so she called the lady, and the lady sprayed the cockroach, and the cockroach just laughed and started walking back. And so you would say spend $1,000 on average. For five people, that's $5,000. But you know how much it will help if you send the money, because they can do the construction, and probably they can do it better. It is different. So when you start thinking about that, how can we help? Well, primarily we go back because of discipleship. We go back for that. You're still in Acts 5. Let's go back to Acts 15, verses 40 and 41 again. So we look back the pattern. Again, we'll keep coming back to this pattern. Okay, for Paul, Barnabas, Silas, John. In Acts 15, verses 40 and 41, it says, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia," and here's the thing, "confirming or strengthening the churches." That's what they need. They need to be built up. And then later on, Acts 18, verse 23 of the book of Acts 8, chapter 18. We see the same pattern. We see the same language. "And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order," doing what? "Strengthening all the disciples." Yes, evangelism, yes, church planting, and also, yes, making these disciples, okay, equipped for the ministry to understand and recognize their most important need. If we are able, yes, we can do financial help. We can do other types of help. And so we have the command to basically return. Why do we go back? We go back to carry out our sacred duty. We go back to help out in every God-given opportunity as we are able. Thirdly, we go back to bring about continuity in doctrinal purity. We need to bring about that continuity with the doctrine that is pure and the doctrine that is apostolic to these places. And so we see this in Acts 14. Let's look at the movement. Let's look at the pattern in Acts 14. So as we go back from the beginning of their ministry, we see this. Folks, this is a church here. When we go, it's not Pastor Noel, Pastor Warren. When we go, they know it's Lake County Baptist Church. They know that. We want to make sure they know. I'm not here by myself. Okay? I'm not here because of anything else but as a ministry of Lake County Baptist Church. In Acts 14, 21 to 22, see if we can pick up the pattern. "And when they had preached the gospel to the city," that is evangelism, "and had taught many," they did what? They returned again. So folks, when they returned again, Paul was already stoned in these places, or at least one of the places, to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. And here's the thing, confirming or strengthening. So why do they go back? They confirm or strengthen the souls of the disciples and exhorting them for what? To continue in the faith. Okay, the faith is not what we feel. It's not my feeling. Okay, the faith is a body of doctrine. It's a body of teaching. It's the apostolic teaching that we go back and make sure that they teach. So we can see the pattern that you evangelize, you make disciples. And so Christian makes disciples. And from there we'll teach many, confirming and also making sure that we as a church and us that go, that could go and allowed that to bring about continuity on that doctrinal purity. A pastor friend, Sunday school, one time, that was a long time ago. This is one of the pastors. He was here before, but this was the first year Pastor Warren was here. So a few years later, he came and visited us, and so we get into discussion. And one time he mentioned about some of the Sunday schools that they do. So see if you can pick up on this. One of the discussions they have is a question like this. What if Adam did not sin? So, I mean, that's a topic of the Sunday school. Well, what if Adam did not sin? Let's talk about that. Maybe we can talk about that in our Sunday school, right? Well, a lot of these folks will be speculation at best. Is there anything from the scripture? I'm sure that we can come up with maybe a good conclusion. Well, what does it do? And here's another one. I thought this was a joke. This was recently that some of the pastors that visited us here. And so they said a professor came in the day one, right? Professor came in first day of the class and gave them their research paper or assignment, I should say, regarding the silent years of Jesus' life on earth. So that's your research paper. Oh, but Pastor Steinbach is not here. I was going to ask him. That'll be your research paper. The silent years of Jesus' life on earth. Well, where can you find that? Well, one thing you missed, folks, this is the culture. The culture that they are in has this, and not all, this is not all, but sometimes a professor will sometimes let you know that he has an insight that you don't have. So they have an insight, they have some kind of a insider information that these young would like to be pastors will not have. So I thought it was a joke and said, no, that was, I say, really? But why do we return? Folks, we want to be able to bring out, to bring about, okay, the continuity in doctrinal purity. We want to do that. And then my brother, he's not in this church anymore. And so these are different churches. And in this church, they were new. His family, they were new members of this local church. The congregation would choose their deacons. How do you like this, Pastor Kowak? Choose their deacons every year, Mike. So every year by nominating other members and voting on them. So in other words, you can just raise your hands. I nominate Pastor Kowak. He's not a pastor, let's say. Brother Tim. So they nominate and they vote. And so he's a new member. Think of that. He's a new member. Less than a year. They barely knew him. And so one family approached him and said, hey, we'll nominate you to be a deacon of this church. And you say, anything wrong with that picture? You know what my brother asked him? Do you know me? But the sad thing is that church imploded. So we used to minister to that church. But what is that? Sometimes you think, oh, it's a doctrine. No, folks, doctrine follows. What follows doctrine is practice. So we want that. We want to be able to bring about continuity, okay, in doctrinal purity. To teach them the regulative principle of worship. You hear that term. Well, what is that term? Only this. It asks what the Bible commands. That's what it's asking. So regulate our worship. Well, there's another question called the normative, which says, what the Bible does not forbid, we can do. No, that's not what we teach. We teach the other way, the regulative, what the Bible commands. Folks, it's in our Great Commission. Whatsoever I have commanded you, that's what you teach. Whether you're a pastor, a deacon, or Sunday school teacher, or teacher to young people. So we can see this pattern, and definitely we see this in the book of Acts. So we must correct those wrong teachings. Okay, so let's turn to our 1 Timothy. Let's look at our 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. So when we look at Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, it says here, as I besought thee, so this is Paul writing to Timothy, to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. So folks, we see this minister, we see this needs, these different needs that we saw in the Philippines and still see. So we have to look back, step back, says this is our sacred duty. We go back to carry out our sacred duty. We go back to help out in every God-given opportunity. Not everything, okay? Not everything, but the ones that really we can discern that this is where we want. And primarily that's for discipleship. And thirdly, we said to bring about continuity in doctrinal purity. So we see this in our pattern. Our goal, 2 Timothy. So when we go one more, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. So yes, we go to carry out our sacred duty, to help out in every God-given opportunity, and to bring about continuity in doctrinal purity. We teach them so one day they'll be able to have folks there that will take our place. They will now be taking our place to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so I want to encourage us. Okay, this is Lake County Baptist. When we go there, they know it's Lake County Baptist. They might know us, but they know this is part of our ministry. We know that we are part of making them grow. We know our purpose primarily is to give them resources so one day, it's not Pastor Warren, Pastor Noel, or eventually probably Cliffy going there and going there forever. No, we have other places. But what we do is for them to be able to raise other teachers. To do what? So they can have faithful men that they will be teaching for them to teach others also. So let us do that. Let's go back. Not all of us can go back, but let's go back when we say, this is us doing the work in our ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening.